There are no weekends on a ranch. The routine of Wednesday is the routine of Saturday. And the chores of Tuesday are still chores on Sunday. Though the banker and bookkeeper may be tethered to a calendar, ranchers are bound only to the seasons. And note the milestones of their lives by saying, we were married in the spring, or she was born in the fall. Or perhaps on the hottest day in the driest summer ever to plague Montana, my husband returned to me.
Hey, everybody. My name is Alex.
And I'm Jerry.
And today we are talking about episode 3 of 1923, A Yellowstone Origin Story. And a bunch of stuff happened, didn't it, Jerry?
Holy shit.
So I get this text from Jerry, or I saw you, or, you know, I think you messaged me. Did you see the episode? Because I hadn't seen it when it aired. I saw it like a couple hours after, and I'm like, no. He's like, when you see it, holy shit. And pretty much those were the words that happened. A lot happened here, and I can't believe that we have so much to talk about in the third episode. And I think this particular episode right now is the best of all of them. What's your first thoughts on this episode?
Well, it is, you know, it, again, it's set in the 20s, of course, being 1923. You know, one of my one of the favorite times in history, because I was, again, I mentioned, you know, I like that time between 1900 and 1940s. It's just a nice, you know, there's an interesting time in our history,
right?
But for everything, there's, you know, a lot of, you know, more or less accurate stuff in there about, like, you know, washing machines, speakeasies.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get to all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And a very big gunfight.
Well, you know what? And one of the things that I think the theme of this show, and I was looking on some of the boards for the show, is people were criticizing it because, okay, rancher life, we get it, it's hard. But people don't really realize this was kind of a turning point in America.
Yeah.
And I just love how they make it so apparent. So before we get too much into it, because I have a habit of doing this, why don't you do the show description, and then we'll get into all the good stuff.
Okay. Show description is: Jacob, Kara, and the Duttons go into town to take care of some business and some pleasure. Spencer and Alexandra decide that they won't waste any more time and later find new danger. The Dutton realizes the feud with the sheep herders is far from over.
And we start out, you know, in one of the grandest ways. I mean, I think that Taylor Sheridan does a great job of setting the table, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, Montana is its own character, whether it's in Yellowstone, whether it's in 1883, it's the Yellowstone itself in Montana is a character. And it, you know, Taylor really has the pulse, whether it's real or not. I'm buying what he's selling.
Yes.
And I just love how when the men go off to work, the women still have to go to work, you know, and the clip that we talked that we showed, which I know next to Ginny is your new favorite character. I think it may be a close second. Now, mm-hmm. for those of you that don't know, Jerry has a sort of small crush with one of the characters from Fear, Ginny, but that we all like to give him crap about. But I think, you know, if she's second, I'm on board with that. I mean, she could read the phone book, so to speak, to me. Uh-huh. That being said, I just love the fact that in a farming life, this is what you do. And one last thing before I'll let you comment on it is one of our Zedhead friends actually works on a farm, and she had messaged in the thread. She's like, yeah, it's been 100 years and I still do that same work every day. So it's just kind of interesting. There's certain things in this world, you know, the term from Hamilton, you know, knowing how the sausage is made, nobody really realizes how the sausage is made. But you know, you have this grand scene, and why don't you set the stage for everybody and tell them what your thoughts were?
Yeah, the opening is, it shows kind of the day-to-day life, and you heard the voiceover at the beginning about, you know, what's true on the week. You know, we don't have weekends. Is that what's true on Wednesday is true on Saturday is true the next day? You know, we're not bound by a calendar like, you know, bankers and such. And we just observe that, you know, picking eggs out of the, you know, out of the hen boxes, you know,
and it's survival. And day-to-day
stuff. And it's survival. Yes.
Day-to-day. I mean, and, you know, one of the things that Helen Mirren said is, it's a hard life, but you're never going to be as free as you could be with this life.
Yes.
And I just love it. I just mm-hmm. love that statement. You know, I love that she also talked about when you get married or you have kids, you know, you don't get married in May. You get married in the spring. You have your kids in the fall. I mean, it's just it's such a different way of living. And I know there's people that kind of do that today, and it's kind of dying. But at the same time, that theme where progress versus the ranchers is always butting up against each other.
Yeah.
And so they come home, and what happens? What was your take on it?
Oh, that was funny because, you know, what's her name? Elizabeth sees the horses coming in, and she like drops the basket of eggs by Kara and Emma. And she starts running, you know, running towards the horses. And they tell her, you know, it was like when Jacob and the rest are on the horseback, you know, kind of just taking their easy time.
Right.
And Jack starts to take off, you know, Jack wants to take off, or they say, you better take off, Jack, because you got yourself a runner. And he says, well, too bad she's also a faller.
I love that line.
And they show her just almost like face planting into the dirt, and then gets up and starts running again.
Well, and again, they you know,
yeah,
you learn so much about ranching just in that one scene. So they're running there, and the one guy's giving him crap, like, I'm going to get there first. And I guess the one hand got all pissed because, you know, one of the rules, I guess, when you come home is you don't do a flyby like in Top Gun. You know, you go in slow so that the horses mm-hmm. will slow down. And I guess Jacob or Harrison Ford's like, yeah, do you or one of the guys was like, yeah, do you want to be the one that doesn't, you know, pick it up when you see your wife kind of thing? And I just love that scene because it just shows how much of a family this group is.
Yeah. And plus they've been gone for how many weeks? You know,
who knows?
I mean,
yeah, it's been a long time. And I mean, everybody looked weathered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the women looked weathered, the men look weathered. It was just, that's a tough decision. And, you know, in the main show, they had that same kind of tough decision. Now that I'm thinking about it, meaning for those of you that haven't watched the mid-season finale, you might want to fast forward this, but you know, they're bringing the cattle down to Texas, and it's kind of the same type of thing. So it's just old time. Got to bring the, you got to bring the meat where it's going to survive.
Yeah. And at this point, because, you know, the sheep herders, sheep have, you know, kind of killed all the grass. They have to take them up right. high. You know, as you said, take them up high.
And because of the locusts and everything else. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what I find very interesting is they do end up going to town, and this is where technology kind of it's at a crossroads, because yeah. you've got certain people that are still horse bound, and you have others that are car bound, and everybody in between. Mm-hmm. And I know you had touched on it, but you know, progress is coming to the West.
Yeah, whether and like whether, you know, whether they want to or not, because it's already in the cities.
Exactly. And you know, I remember when I was a kid, my mom told me that, because we lived right near Bell Telephone, and they gave telephones to everybody in the area. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted that kind of, you know, they wanted people to use a telephone. Well, they had that same issue with electricity. But I got to tell you, the Duttons aren't stupid, because they did actually make a really good point.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I mean, what was your thoughts on progress coming to the Duttons?
Well, for here, you know, the salesman that was trying to, you know, like that was selling the rental, you know, rental appliances in this case. You know, they were selling electricity yet renting the appliances.
That's and, weird, but I yeah. understand. Well, yeah.
For the 20s, I'm thinking that was probably, you know, the
standard. Yeah, that's probably the normal.
Yeah. And I did look it up about, you know, like what was the cost of a washing machine in the 20s? And it says like $85. And $85 doesn't seem like a lot today, because, you know, now with they're probably upwards of $1,500 to $2,000 for a good set.
Right.
And but that say like in the 20s, when what was the average monthly wage, monthly pay?
If you're lucky, it was maybe $30.
$30 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So you think about how much money that actually was. And
right.
you compare that to a rental, and then you have to have the electricity run out there.
Right.
Know? See, and here, you know, you know, because the washing machine was, you know, they said, you know, it pumps water, it agitates it, and see, and it does all the whole, you know, and today's machines, you know, do all the washing, all the spinning,
right,
and everything to spin the water out. And here you had the wringer on the machine, and I remember my mother had an old washboard and a wringer. If you had like one thing to wash, and it was only one thing, and it was kind of really really bad, you didn't want to put it in the washing machine.
Yeah,
she would actually use the washboard and scrub all the crap out of it before right. she put it in the machine, because she didn't want to mess up the machine too much.
No, I totally get it. And, mm-hmm. You know, it just comes down to, you know, we're talking almost, you know, 300, maybe 300 a week,
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, 200 and change a month. So, I mean, that's a lot of money. And I think that, you know, they do make a good point. I'm not working for you. I'm not working for myself. I'm working for you.
You, yes.
And yeah, how many people are working for daycare or working for their mortgage or working for somebody else, mm-hmm. so to speak? And there is something to be said for that, being self-sufficient. I mean, they were totally off the grid in a lot of ways. But yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And what I liked about it is like, see, the guys were trying to be real, you know, real pragmatic about it, saying, you know, we don't work for you. It's like, you know, you and say, and then what do we do when the machine, you know, we buy this machine or rent this machine to do the work? What do we do with the other time? It's like, well, you do other chores. And it's like, and then when you, you know, make Great. The machine to do those chores, and it's like, we do this. But my thing is like, the was Kara and Emma are like, well, that seems like a good idea. It's like, and the men are like, don't really like it. It's like, well, they're not the ones really doing the laundry. At least I don't see them doing it.
Well, and you know, that was the one thing that she said. She's like, mm-hmm. you know, that's, I mean, it actually does save time.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we do is we sometimes, and we have a washer and dryer, you know, we actually send our laundry out, because it's just, it's a huge time saver. Mm-hmm. And we used to do that a lot when we were renting. and they fold it. They do. I mean, that's the best part is they fold it. But, yeah. You know, you could spend all day for three, and we only had three people. It could take a whole Sunday just doing the wash, and that's with machines. Yes. So imagine if it wasn't. I just think that you look at some of these things and they look so antiquated, but at the time it was the
absolute
the bee's knees, so to speak.
Yes.
Jacob goes and talks to the sheriff, and Robert Patrick gives him a little what for. And mm-hmm. and I just love how Harrison Ford, you know, he always has glimpses of his old self. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everybody wants Han Solo. And I know I keep going back to this, but he or Indiana Jones, which I know he's going to recreate. But, you know, he always has these looks and one-liners. And what is the difference between hanging him there versus hanging him in the town square?
Well, the difference there would be it's the law doing it and not Jacob doing it. Because
exactly.
When Jacob does it, you're a vigilante. Granted, you're protecting your own land. But you see, here's where another thing about the 20s and being, you know, and being a rancher, and the nearest officer of the law is 3 hours away.
Right.
Or at the very least 3 hours away.
You know, exactly. And you know, that justice is going to definitely be quick and swift if you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And the thing is that the sheriff is okay with what he did, but he doesn't like it, but he's not upset enough to really do anything to Jacob about it because I killed these, you know, he thinks five men at this point.
Right. It's four.
Yeah. You know, with Banner and his four other guys that he left hanging in the tree, but Banner has freed himself, which by the fact in the cold open of the show, we get to see Banner with the worst athlete's foot ever.
Oh my God. You know, it's like, it reminded me of, what's his name? Bruce Willis in,
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
How much blood he had coming out of his
face. Oh, and I'm just like, dude, man.
You
need more than spray there.
Yeah, and you don't know how far Banner walked.
Exactly.
In these boots over rough land that usually a horse does perfectly fine.
Absolutely. I mean, it probably took him a day or two to get where he's going.
Yeah.
And I love how, you know, Jacob, they use the horses. They're in town. He sees a buddy of his and, you know, progress is here progress is a good thing and a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good for people coming in, but it's bad for the people that have always been there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not the old way. This isn't the way we always did it. And I think that there's definitely the new way has to give and the old way has to give a little. Mm-hmm. But it does set up because they do have that conversation. And Jacob's like, you know what? I might need some muscle. And it's not going to be fun because this is going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
And
he wants help, but it's not the kind of help he wants to have.
Exactly. And he doesn't. I mean, I don't think the Duttons really want to fight.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's not in their interest to do so because, you know, all they would end up doing is pissing people off. And the whole thing is like, you know, there's this give and take about, you know, the weather is not cooperating. And, you know, when bugs eat your grass on your land for your cattle, and also the sheep eat the grass down past the root.
And that's really, unfortunately, the crust of the problem is the sheep for the rancher, I'm saying, for your average rancher. You know, who the hell would have known this if you're not in that world? How invasive sheep are. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't think about it because you just don't think, oh, they're eating the grass just like the cows. No, they're not. they're tearing the grass up where the cows graze, and I guess they takes them a longer time, or they don't go to the root.
Yeah, they don't go to the root is what they said.
So there's always a plentiful amount of food.
Yeah, and of course, that's of course when there's rain.
Right. That's a whole nother issue, which you're dealing with on a constant basis being in the other side of the world, which is California. That said, I love how they always are planning. That's the one thing the Duttons do very well. So, you know, Clara's like, we're going to have to stay because they have horses. They don't have cars. So, you know, Jacob already has the room set up at the hotel. And, you know, they're going to go out to dinner and have a great dinner. And like always, you know, the youngsters want to go have a drink, go party. And the old folks just, and I say old because we're part of that clan too, yeah, just want to have a nice night and just chill out.
Yes. Well, granted, we're on the lower end of the, you know, of the.
Exactly.
Then the, you know, past the upper end of the younger ones. So.
But, you know, one of the things that I love that they do a great job of, and it also reminds me of A River Runs Through It, which is the same period. It's the same time. It's actually, in a lot of cases, the same location as where we're at. Because they talk about Helena. I think they're in Helena in A River Runs Through It, as well as Bozeman. Mm-hmm. But they talk about the speakeasies.
Yes.
And, and you know, you hear about the secret knocks and the this and the that, but they did a great job of really kind of painting that wonderful picture. And Taylor does a great job of that. What I love about this scene is how the sophistication of the city folk versus the ruggedness of the cowboys. And what I really found nice, there wasn't a fight, you know, right. Everything. It was just, everybody was having a good time. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of embraced it. Do you remember what the drinks were?
The guys had gin rickeys, and the ladies had
bee's knees.
Yes, thank you.
and they were just having a great time, and you know, and it was great because Elizabeth got to kind of show her future husband what a little glimpse of what she's used to, and he kind of made it his own by, you know, dancing a cowboy way, so to speak, or whatever the heck you want to call it.
Well, they were, I believe it was the Charleston. They didn't have the Charleston music there, but
I know it did look like a Charleston type dance. But I mean, that you know, that's the one thing about that scene is not everything is a drama.
Yeah,
you know, that you got to have some fun, and I just love how they just kind of all embraced it. And I'm glad that they showed that kind of scene because it really shows a couple of things along with the washer or electricity scene that it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming in a big way. You know, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. And again, to go back to my original point is like,
yes.
This is what I like about history, because at the start of like in 1900, even in the cities, there wasn't a whole lot of electricity just yet. You know, there was some,
right?
Not as prevalent as it is in the 20s, but you have this very, you know, like if you look at it on a graph, you say, you know, Old West with horses, newer part with electricity and cars.
Right.
And it's just this, we get to see what the overlap is, which is what I really,
you know,
like.
To your point, I mean, right before electricity, a lot of places had natural gas.
Mm-hmm. Natural gas lighting instead
and that was a big problem because it had no smell at the time, and they didn't put that additive in. And you know, electricity has its own issues too. I mean, it's got its own issues, but you know, people don't realize because they go to the refrigerator, they don't realize what a modern comfort that is.
Yeah,
you know, even something as simple as air conditioning.
Yeah, and for me is that one of the biggest, you know, like you asked, like what's the biggest invention of the 20th century? You know, some would say cars or computers. I think it's refrigeration because that allowed people to keep food for much longer times.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And like I know you live in California, and it gets to be 500 degrees or whatever the hell it is. I can't even imagine what these ranchers must have done when it gets this hot. I mean, it's a dry heat, my ass. I mean, it's still hot as hell.
Yeah. On a normal summer, like my part of California, but in the Central Valley, would experience, you know, out of a, like, say, just a 90 day summer, half of it more or less would be 100 or over.
I can't even imagine what people that work outside on a regular basis have to do, because there's a lot of people that do that currently, whether it's pickers or whomever, you know, ranchers or whomever. And it just goes to show you how manly men and womanly women are on the ranch. Whatever ranch it is.
Yeah. Well, here, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I used to help out with my dad when we were farming tomatoes, is that you start before, you know, like when you can see, you start.
That's it.
And then you finish by noon.
Well, you have no choice.
And you have no choice. Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to die.
You won't feel good the next day.
Well, but I'm just saying, I mean, it's pretty crazy. But, you know, so they're on their way home, and maybe I'm being really naive or something, but I would have never thought in my life that they would have had why would you have an issue going home? I mean, you're Jacob Dutton. Nobody's going to do anything to you. Right. And, you know, he has the guys go ahead, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. Elizabeth gets hit first, and it was probably one of the best Western gunfights scenes I think I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, there's a good one, a couple good ones in Unforgiven. There's a really good one, you know, like in, you know, there's a bunch of good ones in any spaghetti Western.
I think that's the one thing Taylor Sheridan does a great job of. Mm-hmm. He really knows how to pay respect to the history. I was watching an interview with Kevin Costner, and he was asked why haven't there been more Western movies and series? And he said, because it's really hard to do it right, you know, with the horses and the ruggedness and whatever. And I think that is the real difference between this and other shows. I mean, I look at, you know, some of the period pieces that have to do with the Civil War. You get these Civil War reenactors, and they've got all these, you know, authentic type of things, you know, whether it's watches, guns, whatever. And even you know, our main show, which is The Walking Dead, they go out of their way because the fans demand it. You know, they're the ones nitpicking about all this. And you know as well as I, the people that do this for a living are watching this show, and they're watching to make sure it's done right. And it shows. It just shows.
Yeah.
So it's a real gunfight, and we lose a bunch of people. I don't know if we lose a lot of people, but
we get a lot. Well, we lose John.
We lose a main character, John Dutton, who was in 1883. He was the son, the baby,
one of the kids.
And now Jack is his son. And for those of you looking at the family tree, Jack and Elizabeth, so Elizabeth does survive, have a son, which is actually John Dutton Jr. or the third. Yeah. But then his son is John Dutton from Yellowstone. So Jack is actually John Dutton from Yellowstone's grandfather. So if you can get that all right, then, you know, they need to really have everybody have the same name. Oh, I'm sorry, they do. But yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty crazy that such an important character dies so quickly in the show.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of sad because he seemed like the actor and the character was really fun.
Yeah. But during this gunfight, you know, when I saw the episode three times just to make sure I got everything.
Me too.
Yeah. And the first time around, when the sheep herders attack,
right.
And I'm thinking, well, where the hell's, you know, Banner? Because he said, you know, get, you know, go. He told his son at the beginning, go get this guy and come back. And Banner shows up in his car. And then I said to myself, I saw him going for his backseat. I said, he's going to pull out a rifle of some kind. And he pulls out a fucking Tommy gun.
And you know what? I saw that and I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, is that even invented? And I'm like, holy shit, it's the 20s. That's when it was invented.
Oh, it was used during the First World War.
Right. No. Yeah.
It was like crazy. And I was like, it was around for at least 10, I think about 10 years or so.
I mean, that was no friggin' joke.
Yeah. And Tommy guns were freaking serious. And that's why a lot of like the Chicago gangs, you know, used them, like you see it. And like in The Untouchables, they used it as well. So.
Of course. Cause you know, everybody, when you think of The Untouchables, you know, you do it the Chicago way. You know, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, but that's another podcast.
Yeah. But holy shit. And it's like, and this is where, you know, when Kara and Emma are with John, you know, they're take out a couple of the writers. And this is when Banner shows up and he tells her to run. And this is when John gets killed and Jacob gets hit maybe three or four times, you know,
I want to say
three or four. I don't even know how many at times.
Right.
I want to say at least three or four. And Tommy guns were no joke. And I forget what caliber they are, but they're not small bullets either.
No. And they're there to do damage. Mm-hmm. And I really thought his wife was going to commit suicide by the end of the, by the end of the show. Yeah. What I found really amazing, and I mean this in the most respectful way, you know, all those women are tough broads.
Oh yeah,
they're tough. You know, so they bring them back to the house, and she's doing triage like it's no big deal because she deals with cattle.
Yeah,
and there's not much difference between cattle and humans. It's all, you know, flesh is flesh.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, we have to go back. We have to rewind just a second here.
Oh, please. I know I like to jump.
Yeah. But what Kara saw when, you know, when she saw Jacob on the ground, John dead, and Emma's like offering, you know, in being stunned, she sees a guy with a flat cap running off into the field, and we get a full circle back to the very beginning of the show.
Chasing down
the guy and shooting him. And it's like, there it is.
And she, you know, when we first saw that scene,
there was no context.
The first episode, you're like,
no context.
Like, okay, she's defending her land.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we learn about her, the more we realize that she is she wears the pants in the family, and she is like most, and I say this, you know, most women or in relationships like this, they're the boss. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to the wedding. It goes back to a lot of things, you know, men do what they do. And women are, like you said, about the creature comforts. Yeah. A washing machine doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Well, you're not doing the wash.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, that's the kind of thing, but you want clean clothes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't have house elves back there. That's for damn sure.
Exactly.
But yeah, that scene kind of really threw me off, but it was great to finally have the context. And I love how they waited two episodes to bring it back.
Yeah, and for me, I was like, I don't know if it would have been more effective maybe with a couple more episodes, you know, to give it a little bit more, but still, I like it.
If they put it in this week, next week, the week after, it was still going to be great. I mean, you know, good writing and big scenes like that are amazing. So, like I said, like I jumped the gun, the Tommy gun, you know, they bring them and they're doing the triage and, you know, they're doing all the stop the bleeds and plugging up holes. And then the doctors and the nurses get there and, you know, you hear the morphine and the this and the that, and they kick them all out. And, you know, that's kind of where they leave everything. And we don't know if Jacob's alive or dead.
Correct.
But he did tell Kara one important thing. And what was that?
Spencer needs to get home.
Now, that was a whole nother storyline.
And it was sandwiched in between going to town and the gunfight. So we wanted to cover the full Dutton storyline and then go back to Spencer in Africa.
Because it really is two shows.
Yes.
Right now. And that said, when you watch this, folks, if you haven't already, the one thing that they didn't show was the school.
Yeah, no school
at all.
Yeah,
and
I would take a fair bet that we're going to get more of the school next week.
Well, I mean, you know, nothing says creepy like the worst Catholic school in the world. I mean, they were every cliche possible, there's a ton of great uncomfortable movies that talk about this period with the Indians, and it's just an awful time for that group of people. But now we jump to Africa, and you know Spencer is living the life with his PSD with his girlfriend for 2 seconds, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he knew her for all of a few hours, and then said, "Okay, we're going to run away together."
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, the paint didn't even dry on the whatever. I mean, he was like, "Let's go."
Yeah,
or and maybe she was.
Yeah, yeah. We have Spencer and Alexandria doing a little adventure, you know. Then we see him at the camp, you know, being talked to about the hyenas that he was hired to take care of.
Right.
Yeah, and I forget that guy's name, but you know, it's just I call him the other British guy. I didn't catch his name.
Yeah, there's a ton of British people in Africa. I think all of Britain is in Africa right now.
A good portion of it, at least in some of it anyway. But we have this portion where Spencer and Alexandra are going up, are driving to the next village, and they're just like taking in the sights, and he wants to take her to see a child's footprint in stone, where he said,
right,
you know, people, you know, they were talking about, you know, possible evolution and the origin of humans.
Right.
You know, and that's, yeah. And
they were talking about, do you believe in Darwin? Evolution.
Yeah. Do you believe in Darwin? Yeah. And so he takes her up here and she gets to see the footprints. You know, they engage in a little bit of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're driving in their next leg of the driving, and they deal with a herd of elephants, and they just have to stop and let the elephants walk by. And he's kind of musing about, and he thinks, you know, God made them from the clouds, you know, just because they look so odd.
Right.
And they're talking about, you know, like impalas, and you see zebras, impalas out, you know, and the elephants, and they stop for a second after they, you know, and they let the elephants go by them. They're talking for a minute, and then you see a bull elephant show up. And he has to go in reverse very fast.
Yeah, he was. I when you think of elephants, you don't think of them as aggressive.
Oh, they are.
I mean, I maybe I'm wrong. You know, it's just like one of those things. I didn't think they were that aggressive. I mean, I know they have tusks, and you know, they have to get their food or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, yeah, that was a very exciting scene, and that elephant was not happy. For whatever reason.
Yeah, well, it sees, you know, they see it as a threat, and elephants, you know, any animal in a group like that will, you know, see them, especially if it's like, you know, what we would call the alpha.
Right.
They see it as protection.
Well, I liked how Spencer defined it. in America, animals run, and in Africa, they just tolerate humans like it's a nuisance. And I love that line. I mean, it kind of fits, but that's a pretty deep statement there. Yeah. They get knocked over, and I love how, you know, they push the car right back over because it's not like it's built like a tank, and he tries to crank it up, you know, because again, 1920s, and it doesn't crank up, and the survivor that he is like, okay, we're going to go in this tree. But let me just backtrack 1 second. You know, the one thing that he did say to her was, okay, I can't call you Alexandra. I got to call you something else.
Yeah.
And then he ends up coming up with the Alex. Cause he's like, if we're ever in a life-threatening situation,
too many syllables.
Too many syllables. And what I also love is when they were talking, she was like, my parents are gonna hate you, and he's like, oh, my parents are gonna love you, and I love that she's like, oh, you have parents, I just thought you were just chiseled out of the
out of the wilds or something.
Yeah, and you know, because people find Americans, they have this certain just like every other culture, they have this certain appeal or certain preconceived notion of things, and especially someone like Spencer, who isn't that cultured, war hero, or maybe not even a hero, but survived World War One, which has to be one of the most violent wars in our history, in modern times. It was just awful, because it went from non-mechanized to mechanized weapons for the first time in history.
Yeah. In addition to chemical weapons.
And I think that's it, that this is important to bring up into the podcast, because they haven't really shown a lot of World War One clips, but they keep hinting about it. I'm assuming there's going to be more flashbacks or something along those lines, because, you know, along with the ranchers, you know, before World War One, cavalry was horses. After or during World War One, and there's a great Don Johnson movie that talks about this, they got rid of all the horses because they had to build tanks. War was different. The same way war has been different from the 70s to now. Yeah. You know, we have drones, we have all these, and I really do believe that it's important to bring this kind of stuff up. I mean, they didn't have machine guns before World War One or something as powerful as that. Maybe they did, but
they did use Gatling guns, but they weren't as prevalent.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there was an Tommy gun like there was, you know, prior to this.
Yeah.
Yes. Did they have weapons? Yes. Did they have multiple ammunition type of things? Yes. But nothing to the scale that they had during World War One.
Correct.
Previous. That said, you know, he's up in this tree with her, and the tree's not that big.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think they said something like, you know, it's like, we got to find a higher tree. And it's like, well, you know, and let's see, I'm trying to remember exactly what she said. It's like, well, with a lion, you know, like, we want to be up in the highest tree, especially when lions want in us. And it's like, even if we're in the tree, and it's like, that's the only reason they want up in here. You know, like, I'm thinking, especially because you're in the tree, they want in.
Because your one word, lunch.
Well, and not only that, he said, you know, after he took down the elephant with his rifle, he said, I just rang a 14-ton dinner bell.
Yep. Yep. And similar to The Walking Dead, you know, you don't want to make noise unless you have to.
Yeah.
You know, that's why bullets, as good as they are, the downside is a knife is better because it's quiet.
And here you have the smell, you know, lions will know the smell of blood, I believe, if I remember.
Absolutely. And, you know, so they're in this tree with the rope, and he's getting attacked by lions and tigers and bears. Well, not bears, but everything mm-hmm. under the sun. And then all of a sudden the hyenas come. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was kind of an interesting thing because he could kind of see how it all works. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of these people. He listens and he watches more than he, cause he's a hunter. And he's trying to also learn to see what their patterns are.
Yeah.
And of course, right before the brink of death, what happens? You know.
Yeah, they get rescued by their friends.
The English.
Yeah, the English guy. The English guy,
renamed nameless, you know, the insert English guy. And I love how he's like, leave the rope. And he's like, no, that's my lucky rope. Well, you know what? I would take that damn rope too. He's like, I'll buy you a new rope. No, this is my rope, you know? She's ready to kill him.
Yeah. Well, because it's the whole thing about she said something about feeling alive. And it's like, well, how alive do you feel right now? It's like, that's not the way I want to feel.
Well, that's the way.
Well, because facing death like that and damn near certain death, because, you know, they probably wouldn't have lasted all night.
No. He knew it. She knew it. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to be a war hero, but nobody wants to really be in war. You know, cause you know, wars, and I use this, I've never been, I was never in the military, but you know, from people I've talked to, like my brother, and you know, wars are personal. You know, when you have you versus me, that's a war. Mm-hmm. It might not be the big war, but that's, you know, you have to get through that person. And in this case, this lion. Yeah. And it becomes real personal real quick.
And for me, it's like, I don't know what I'd rather face. It's like, would you rather face one bull elephant while you're in a car or a small pride of lions when you're up in a tree?
Yeah, I'll take the elephant because, you know, not that I can outrun the elephant, but I got a better chance with one versus many.
Yeah.
And then you got the hyenas, you know, everybody's just trying to fight each other. And you're like, I don't want to be in the middle of this thing. Yeah. But of course, you know, she is still there. Mm-hmm. She's still with him. And I think that the show sets up for, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is how the hell do you get in contact with Spencer? He's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, you write a letter and it goes to his last known location and then they forward it on. That's, I believe that's the way it's done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we think about this. We'll just, you know, cell phone people, FaceTime people. I mean, back then it was a lot different.
Yeah. It would take maybe 2 months to get a letter from America.
If not more.
Yeah.
And then once he gets it, he's got to get home.
Yeah. And it takes weeks to get home. You got to like travel to the nearest port, book passage to wherever.
But it's not like he's even going to New York City or the East Coast. He's got to get on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, other side of the country. So there's a lot. That war that Jacob is fighting could have been over. Like mm-hmm. the ranch could have been gone by the time he gets there.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't have a time reference as to when Spencer is experiencing his events as opposed to what's happening in Montana.
True.
I haven't seen where that lines up just yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hopefully we'll get that. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see, do you really think they're going to kill off Jacob this early?
I don't know. You know, he may succumb later to his wounds, but the other thing is, would Harrison Ford sign on to do an entire season or an entire two or three seasons or however long this show is going to last? Because I'm thinking maybe two seasons at most.
I think it's only going to be two seasons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read on it.
They had said it's going to be two seasons. I mean, Harrison made a big deal that he wanted to get killed in Star Wars because he was done. Mm-hmm. You know, he made a huge deal. The fact that he's playing Indiana Jones, They must have given him a couple of trucks fulls of money. I mean, he makes no bones about it. He wants to just get paid. Mm-hmm. But that said, I mean, he's doing a great job.
Yes,
and yeah. it would be a shame that if that's all they could give us was those three.
Yeah, I would be very unhappy if he died here.
I mean, not that Helen Mirren can't carry this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could carry anything she wants, but I just love their dynamic. I love how they're the glue, the matriarchs of the family. I'm still upset that John's parents didn't survive, because I would have loved to have seen them in their heyday with the ranch. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll see what happens. Any other thoughts on the show in terms of what's going on?
Yeah, for me, you know, I really like the couple of Spencer and Alexandra. They are an awesome couple, you know, and favorite in the show so far. And the lady that plays Alexandra, her name is Julia, and forgive me for butchering this name, Schlapfer, I believe it's pronounced.
Sure.
I don't know. It's not as easy as Ford. So, but she is an awesome actress, and she hasn't been in a whole lot of things. I think she's been in maybe seven or eight. I think she has seven or eight credits on IMDb.
And that's the thing about this show, and even all the other shows, the main characters are big, mm-hmm. but everybody else are not unknowns, but just not knowns.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think, you know, I know you're a big sports fan, and it's like, you know, you're trying to stay under the cap maybe, but I have to say, they do a great job with finding some great gems, some mm-hmm. great gems to play these characters.
Yeah. Well, when I took a look and saw who was starring in the show, and is like, you know, wanting to watch a different chapter in the Yellowstone saga, it's like Helen Mirren, Harrison Ford, Jerome Flynn.
It's right, like, there, I'm in.
Like, boom, I'm in. You know, especially just Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. I'm good.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, I just think that they're just so much. They're in a different level than the rest of the actors.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm not, no disrespect to the other actors, because they're all aces. It's just that they're on a different level. I mean, the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
I mean, he is killing it. I mean, he's killing it.
Yeah, and he's like a minor character in it.
I mean, so it's just amazing. The cast is just, it's crazy, mm-hmm. and loving every second of it. What else do you have?
Yeah, the other actors in it I wanted to mention, her name is Marley Shelton. Okay. She plays Emma, and she was been around since the, you know, early 90s or mid to late 90s. Because I remember the first thing I saw her in was the Sugar and Spice movie. I don't know if you remember that one.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's the first time I saw her, and that dates back to like 2001.
Okay.
So, and she's been in a number of other things, you know, like Scream and Planet Terror, which is a good one. So
a good pun fest for you, right?
Yes. Yeah. The Planet Terror was really fun to watch, but she has she's been in a lot of stuff too.
I'm just looking again. She plays
Emma.
Who again?
Emma.
Okay.
Yeah, because she and I didn't really recognize her, because I don't know if they uglied her up a little bit or made her look older than she actually is.
Yeah. Oh, the speaking of other actors, I mean, the priest and the nun
mm-hmm.
are also have a lot of credits. I mean, it's definitely They really know how to place the right people. And I think once one person signs on, everybody wants to work with everybody, and it's just a love fest. That said, do you have any other notes that you want to bring up?
Yeah. One thing I go back to, like, you know, seeing a lot of the vintage items from like the show. You see like the washing machine, the refrigerator, all the cars and stuff. And it's like, and how they were able to cram it all in this, you know, I don't know if it's an actual town, you know, like some kind of backlot town set that they made with all the facades and everything, but they did an awesome job in making Bozeman.
Absolutely. I mean, all the details are phenomenal. I mean, the speakeasy even, you know, it makes you want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love when Jack is there, he's like, well, what do you got? We got everything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it just goes to, we had in the first episode, the soda shop that serves root beer. That's not real root beer. And the ladies outside that are prohibition advocates. Mm-hmm. And then they referenced the soda shop with the conversation with the guy with the muscle. He's like, yeah, you're Irish. You like those soda shops. And then they have the speakeasies, and that's for the younger generation.
Yeah.
So it's the attention to detail. I mean, it threw you right into the 20s. It certainly wasn't the Great Gatsby 20s, but it was the Wild West 20s, which really, and if it wasn't, I'm buying it. I'm definitely buying it. You know, I have no other notes. So if you have any other notes, please.
Yeah. I just looked up, you know, I looked up what is actually in a bee's knees, and it's gin, lemon juice, and honey. So that's where, you know, the bees part of it comes from. I wouldn't mind.
They actually showed the honey.
Yeah. And I would not mind trying one of these. It actually kind of,
you know what? I might have to put those in the show notes. What's in a gin Ricky?
Gin Ricky, hang on. I have it on the other. Oh, shoot. I closed that window.
So, folks, you don't just get a podcast. You actually get bartender recommendations here. And this particular section is sponsored by Bathtub Gin. Yes, Bathtub Gin. It's the only gin that you can get after you bathe.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, Gin Ricky is, of course, gin, bourbon whiskey, and rye whiskey.
Okay.
It really sounds awful.
It does sound awful, but it looked like it had a little bit of a fizz to it, but I guess it didn't.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see.
No seltzer?
Mineral water, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah, sparkling mineral water.
We're gonna definitely have to put that in the show notes. And then maybe next week we'll both have one, and we'll just get hammered doing the podcast.
I don't want to do that.
I know you don't want to do that, but hey, it sounded really good. And if you have ginger ale in your hand, that's fine. I won't know the difference. Okay. Any other period stuff you want to bring up?
No, that is it.
Well, I don't know if we did a good job or not, but I think we covered all the major points. Mm-hmm. And I think that this story is like an onion. There's going to be a lot of layers to it. I think it really marries well with the other prequel. I think it's making Yellowstone a lot more relevant, even though it was relevant. But I love the callbacks. Or the call forwards, I guess, in this case, to the main show. And I'm just excited to find out what happens next week. I think it's going to be awesome. So that said, folks, if you like the podcast or the YouTube, please, you know, you can smash the like button. Also, if you want to add any comments at the bottom or on our Facebook group, the Podcastica Facebook group, please do that, because or like it. And I know I'm kind of jumping the gun there, but again, there's a little smash button that says subscribe if you like this or this show, because we're really trying to get our numbers up. And I think that people are just over the top with this show, and I'm looking really forward to the next episode. So that said, I guess I'm done. What about you?
Nope. That's our show. So thanks for listening.
And if you, like I said, if you like the podcast, give us 5 stars. We are on Apple, on Spotify, and everything else. Also, if you want to write in any feedback, you can go to podcastica.com or leave voicemails for this episode or any of the previous episodes coming up. What else we got?
Let's see here. Next week, we'll be covering episode 4, which does not have a title yet. And when we have that, we will post that in the show notes.
So thanks for listening. And I'm looking for this. I'm not looking for that. And thanks for listening. And make sure if you're grazing, you make sure that your sheep are not on the wrong plane. And also, in this case, if you have your cowboys, make sure they're close to you and they don't go ahead. And we are out of here.
Thanks, folks.